Thanks for joining us for Season 6 of the ACED IT Podcast. ACED IT is brought to you via the Justice Community Opioid Innovation Network, or JCOIN, with funding from the National Institute on Drug Abuse. I'm Danielle Rudes, your host, coming to you from Sam Houston State University in Texas and bringing you amazing science from today's top scholars and researchers in easy-to-understand language. The theme of Season 6 is diversity, equity, and inclusivity within the justice and health research field. I can't wait to share this season with you. Thanks for listening. Now, let's get started. As COVID-19 became a big part of all of our lives, it impacted many things that may have initially seemed out of its reach. One thing COVID impacted includes the sharp increase of overdose deaths among Black, Latinx, and Indigenous and Native Nations communities. Communities that were already experiencing increases in overdose deaths prior to COVID. COVID had an impact on substance use related treatments like limiting access to medications for opioid use disorders and harm reduction services, which in turn led to lower treatment and retention rates. The high rate of deaths among low-income marginalized people from substance use disorder and COVID both have similar upstream causes of exposure. This exposure can include unstable and crowded housing, high-risk employment, unemployment, and high levels of police interactions and incarceration. These exposures are combined with other aspects of a challenging life, including low levels of access to healthcare and preventative measures. All of these pieces related to exposure for marginalized individuals are known as social determinants of health, or in reading it, you might see it abbreviated as SDOH. In an article by Helena Hansen from the David Geffen School of Medicine at the University of California, Los Angeles, and colleagues, the researchers examine the determinants of substance use disorders and the social structural interventions that may help stop substance use disorder-related deaths that are accelerated by COVID. There are many things that can be considered social structural determinants of health, and many social determinants of health are associated with substances such as physical, sexual, and emotional trauma and discrimination based on race, ethnicity, LGBTQAI+ status, and gender. On top of trauma and discrimination, there is also the issue of stigma. Substance use disorder diagnoses themselves carry stigma with them, creating a barrier for treatment for those who do have one. Related to the stigma of substance use disorders is the punitive enforcement of drug laws, which also act as barriers for finding help and treatment. All of this can also lead to higher risk of overdose because people have to seek out unstable drug supplies that can contain things that are very dangerous to them, like fentanyl. As I mentioned, incarceration is one of the social structural exposures leading to substance use disorder. People who are incarcerated have a higher risk of overdose soon after their release into the community. In spite of this, courts disproportionately imprison low-income people of color for drug-related infractions instead of sentencing them to treatment. Substance use disorders are not the first health crises in the United States to be heavily stigmatized. We can see similarities between HIV and substance use disorders, as both of them are stigmatized by the public because they are often seen as a result of bad choices. In both HIV and substance use disorders, the people who are most affected are those who are socially marginalized as well. HIV has taken a turn, though, with people with diagnoses living longer than ever before, and even stigma has gone down significantly. Here's the best part. Because of the success of AIDS activism, the same model or models may be applied to substance use disorders. The author, Hansen, and her team used the rest of this article that they published to discuss local initiatives that show what social determinants of health approach to substance use disorder might look like based on the lessons from AIDS activism. The first piece of the social determinants of health approach is the criminal legal system. This intervention may look like the current one used in Rhode Island, known as the Criminal Justice Continuum of Care for Opioid Users at Risk for Overdose. This model includes screening for opioid use disorders and overdose risk, treatment and diversion, and overdose prevention that uses naloxone. These three things occur at every stage of the criminal legal system, including law enforcement interactions, courts, jails and prisons, community reentry, parole, and probation. The importance of using medications for opioid use disorder is stressed in this model, which is good because most courts, prisons, and jails do not currently use medication to treat substance use disorder. The next piece of a social determinants of health approach is a culturally resonant one. Here, the example includes Indigenous people and Native Nations and their approach to the treatment of substance use disorders. These communities have combined traditional healing methods and Indigenous views of addiction and recovery with medication treatments. When these things were combined, the Canadian First Nations community saw a 74% treatment retention rate at 18 months. This approach also saw many community improvements as well. The next intervention is one that may be more familiar to you, faith-based organizations as partners. There is one specific framework, the Amani framework, that is used as an example by Henson and colleagues. This framework is based on the five R's: rights, roles, responsibilities, resources, and relationships. This framework uses the five R's to establish recovery while also addressing social determinants of health, as well as showing the importance spirituality can have in recovery. The Amani framework has peer recovery coaches and spiritual facilitators who work with people to help improve wellness. And there's more. Housing. Housing can be a major part of the assistance that people with substance use disorders may need. An initiative known as Housing First is a model that can help. It provides people with immediate housing in addition to supports and case management while not requiring substance use disorder treatment. This intervention is recognized as a best practice. The benefits of Housing First have already shown people involved with it were more likely to continue their medications for opioid use disorder and less likely to abuse or use substances. Housing alone may not be enough, though. There needs to be interventions that include housing and harm reduction support. One model of this is the ATIRA, Women's Resource Society of British Columbia. This group offers housing with substance treatment, childcare services, education, and parenting support for women regardless of their drug use status. The group also works with child protective authorities to make sure that women can keep custody of their children without having to prove they are not actively using drugs. By allowing women to keep their children in their custody, it breaks the cycle of the state's removal, which was seen a lot in poor and Indigenous communities. On top of the social services that ATIRA provides, they also have a woman-only syringe exchange and medically supervised safe consumption sites. Okay, so let me just wrap things up here. In this episode, I have talked a lot about the social determinants of health approaches to substance use disorders. This included criminal legal system clinical care, culturally resonant approaches, faith-based organizations as partners, Housing First, and housing and harm reduction support. However, it is one thing to have these in place, and it is a whole nother thing to actually use them. It is up to clinicians to use their capital to advocate for policies and interventions like these that address the social determinants of health and involve community organizations. The health systems have to destigmatize substance use disorder and link individuals with social services that are locally controlled to build community-based infrastructure. When those working in the health system address the social determinants of health, only then can we reduce and hopefully someday eradicate overdose-related deaths. Thanks for tuning in to ACEDIT, where we translate science into sense. You can find ACEDIT anywhere you listen to podcasts and check out our other offerings on JTech. That's www.jcoinctc.org/JTech. That's J-T-E-C. We consider it our mission to help everyone learn. On JTech, you'll find e-learning courses, webinars, and other trainings all geared to help you learn about justice and and health research and research methods quickly and easily. Special shout out here to George Mason University, home of the Coordination and Translation Center for JCOIN, Sam Houston State University, and National Institute on Drug Abuse and the National Institute of Health. Also, if you'd like us to break down some research that you've read or produced in a future episode of the podcast, send it to me at drudes@shsu.edu. See you next time on ACED It.